Charlotte Soccer Show. The season's over, Danny.
It's over, baby.
No more games. Maybe some signings coming up. We're going to talk about that.
But what happened?
The last ball has been kicked at Bank of America Stadium. It was a miracle that the Crown got it back to Charlotte.
Yep.
After the 0-0 draw.
Yep.
Against the Bronx Bombers at Yankee Stadium. Exactly. And one of the... that shootout was absolutely electric.
100%.
They got it back here to Charlotte, and when the Crown got it back here, I think most people in the city thought that they were going to win the game at home.
Yep.
They were going to move on to the next round.
Yep.
And be playing in the Eastern Conference semifinal this weekend.
Yep.
It's not happening.
We were super poised, Johnny. We were super poised. When the series came back home from New York, I just remember the build-up that day, that Friday night match that we attended, that we pre-partied for, we pre-gamed, had a grand old time. It was almost a foregone, I wouldn't quite say strong enough to say foregone conclusion, but we thought it was going to be just a coronation. We thought it was going to be a celebration all day. We had a great day. We had a great party. The vibes were strong. We had a serious blast. One of my favorite pregame type days that we've had all season. And then New York scored, and all of a sudden the wind was puffed out of the sails, and then
they scored again.
You know, they scored on either side of halftime, as they like to say across the pond. And I said to myself, we just need to get one back. If we get one, we'll get two. We did get the goal from Idonto Clamati. Archie Goodwin, congratulations on your first career MLS assist. And I thought, hey, we got one, we'll get two. And then all of a sudden New York puts in a third, and
I was gone by the time
deflation was real.
I didn't know that they scored a third goal until later that evening.
It was so
frustrating. I was scrolling my phone, and I went, oh, wait, we lost 3-1?
Yeah.
Not 2-1? I just felt like there wasn't, you know, they brought one back.
Yeah.
And it was exciting to be in that moment, in that high-stakes game, going down 2-0, knowing that the next goal means everything for either side. Mm-hmm. And Charlotte FC getting that goal, it really just felt like one of the best moments at the bank. Were they going to get an equalizer? Were they going to take this to PKs for the second straight match? It didn't happen. So the season culminates. It ends. It's over. And it's Ilson Milanda's last match.
Yep.
He's a player that will no longer feature again for Charlotte FC. You could see the emotion afterwards. And it's leading into an off-season of what seems like some changes. Let's go through some news just off the bat.
Yeah.
Because as of today of this recording, Zoran Crneta has signed an extension.
Z-Man. Sticking around for a while.
Brant Bronico has an extension as well. We're going to get into all this stuff. Brant Bronico has signed an extension.
There's some departures, some people staying, some people that have some options picked up, some options declined.
The 2026 schedule?
Right.
Has already been released.
How about that for an early drop? I mean, it was Christmas, New Year's, the last couple seat times when the season schedule for the next year has been revealed. This was kind of like by the way, hey, it's Thursday afternoon, here's your schedule, guys. That was absolutely, I think MLS had to have done that some intentionally, like sort of the surprise schedule drop. I don't know what the focus groups that told them to do that were, but it kind of landed kind of nice for me. I saw some people complaining like, oh, it would have been nice to get some warning on this. But I was actually quite happy that we got it out early. We can start looking at things that we can plan, road trips that might happen, and who's coming to the fortress and whatnot. So that was cool.
We're going to get into all that, but I think for the first bit here on the show, I've got one important question that we're going to knock around a bit, and it's, how would you rate this season? How would you grade it, and do you think that Charlotte FC had a good season? Do you think that they had an average season? Do you think they had a poor season compared to your expectations, compared to the club's expectations? When that whistle blew, when that final whistle blew, and yes, it was disappointing that the season had ended. You go to bed at night, maybe after a couple beers, you know, you dream about what an MLS Cup would have maybe been like here in Charlotte. But then you wake up the next morning and you have maybe a sense of clarity, a sense of finality. And how did you feel? That's really what I want to know that next morning.
How does it feel to lose games like we did? Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, as we sit here at Goldie's Bar, first time ever, by the way, should note, first time ever recording here at Goldie's in South End. Very cool, fun spot.
Yeah, a Friday afternoon.
Drinking a Guinness on a Friday afternoon.
Cheers to you.
Listen to some tunes. I'm hopefully y'all can hear those in the background. We call this Charlotte Soccer Show Classic Edition, you know,
cheers.
You and me sharing some pints over a table. Listening to some Muzak, and it's just also equally funny though, John, that as you asked that question, as you started to frame that discussion, the sounds of construction were heard in the distance, and I don't know how many of those carried over the mic,
yes,
but I could hear it, and it's fitting because what we see with Charlotte FC is still a club that's still a work in progress. It's still building. It's still improving, and I think that we can safely say that this year was a step forward in terms of going from fifth in the table to fourth in the table in the Eastern Conference. I think we moved up from like outside the top 10 into seventh in the overall MLS table when you bring in the West. And everyone from Dean Smith to Ashley Westwood to anyone that you talk to, Zoran, has said, you know, we made a step forward. Now, the problem is it was a very small step forward. It wasn't like the big giant step forward that a lot of us would have wanted to see.
It seems like they're hanging their hat on top four in these.
Yes, correct. And that was, Westwood said, hey, I said at the end of 2024 that we were going to try to get into the top four in 2025, and we did. And now I'm saying in top 2026, we want the supporters' shield. And Dean Smith said, I want the supporters' shield. And everyone has said that, you know, MLS Cup is like its own thing. It's kind of a crapshoot. Dean Smith even said in his postseason press conference earlier this week, he said, I've never watched an MLS Cup final in my life because it always happened in the middle of a European season or an international break in the past, and I just didn't want to watch it last year when we weren't in it. He's got other things going on. And so the schedule change, that's another big thing that's happened since we last recorded, is that MLS has approved the calendar flip for 2027. But I think everyone is saying, like you said, everyone's happy to hang their hat on goal stated, goal achieved, but now we're placing an even loftier goal for 2026, and it's a big step's going to be needed. So it's a work still in progress. It's a team under construction. It's a team that has some very, we'll carry the analogy through and say, we've got some very strong foundation, some great beams, you know, but we need to fill in the paint. We need the drywall to come through and be reinforced and some lovely paint to go on it. I mean, you build around a guy like Zaha, you build around a guy like Kalina, you build around a guy like Brant Bronico, you know, support structure in there, sticking around old Mr. Reliability, the OG undroppable. And we can talk about whether or not that's a good thing, but like, you know, you build around Wilf Zaha, who's confirmed to be here at least until June 2026, and they're working on a longer-term deal. Pep Biel is coming back as a permanent player, so the construction continues to build. Pardon our dust, but it's time to, you know, we'd like to see a little bit more of a finished product, I think, in 2026. So I will say 2025, small step forward, happy with this season. Had a blast. Had so much fun going to games and partying and meeting even more new people, new friends, celebrating this club has brought me friendships and relationships with folks that I never would have met without being a supporter of Charlotte FC.
Yep.
You know, so there's all this good
sports
stuff.
Sports tend to do that, for sure. Sports bring
stuff.
People together. And the crowd, no doubt, has been great for the city.
Right.
So many new friends, so many new people. I think people that play for the club enjoy being here. I think the city has embraced the club brilliantly. The only pushback that I might have is, you know, how long is this construction project going to last?
Right. this the Johnston and I-485 exit here? That's been, are we actually going to have a new house at some point, you know?
I think that's a really, really nice takeaway and good analysis of what the season was. I think the other thing that I would add, I'm glad you mentioned Pep Biel, because at the end of the season it was totally apparent that, you know, losing Pep Biel in the middle of the pitch really hurt Charlotte FC's ability to create from the middle.
Right. Deonnie, Westwood, Bronico as your midfield just was not getting it done. Yeah. Let's just be honest. I like all three of those guys. It wasn't
getting it done. No, but there was just no creativity in the middle of the pitch. Everything was coming in from wide or going out to Zaha on the wing, and nothing was really coming up the spine of the club. It was really difficult for the team to overcome
with
Pepe House.
When Pep was there, a lot was coming through the middle.
That's right. He's in the pockets. He's being fed the ball. He turns quickly and finds players. The other thing that I when I woke up that next morning, I was satisfied with the season because they got it back to Charlotte for game three, and that was the goal, and they couldn't get it done, and that happens in sports. But I think it would be in poor form not to mention the fact that the ultimate disappointment of losing Adilson Milanda, of losing Patrick Ajimong, still sits with me here today, because I think that this was the first time in Charlotte FC history that the club really presented itself as a sell-on club. And it happened this year.
Yeah.
It sold its best striker, and it sold its best defender.
Yeah.
And I think I am currently coming to grips with that. That I think the reason why it's so difficult for me to swallow that hard truth is because David Tepper owns the organization. And Charlotte has the money to pay whoever they want,
right,
whatever they want.
Right.
But we just have decided that our business structure is not that. And one of the first things I thought about when Zoran got his new deal was like, well, wonder if the budget's going to improve next year, or his transfer budget remains the same. Because there's no doubt Zoran is doing a good job of working within the constraints that David Tepper has given him. But I think ultimately the thing that I take away from this season is that the only way this club can get over the hump is to, instead of sell on its best talent, pay its best talent,
right,
and try to keep them around. Or when you sell on your talent, make sure that you have a backup plan, because I think one of the biggest disappointments of the season, and this is not, I even feel bad saying his name out loud, but when everything's on the line, and all you've got to bring off the bench is Archie Goodwin and what was it, Brandon Cambridge as well, that came into the final match. Two guys that absolutely did nothing all season long.
Right.
And that's who you bring off the bench in the final game in the most important minutes of the season. To me, that showed a lack of depth and squad management that bit us at the end.
Yeah. And we keep hearing, if you could see what we see from Archie in training, and it's like, well, if it was really delivering, then it would show on the pitch during the game.
Archie Goodwin as a development signing,
it's great.
It's phenomenal.
As your first sub off the bench in a tight spot, not so much.
I don't think that's what we were going for, bringing that kid in here.
Right.
And I think, and you know what, that could be MLS. You know, you get pinched, the roster rules are weird, and just like that, the snap of a finger, all of a sudden you have no depth.
Right.
And that's what happened to this club. And it was really disappointing. I'm interested to see what Zoran comes up with. But ultimately, I'm satisfied with the season. But I also have this taste in my mouth, this bitterness in my mouth about the fact that, man, we weren't able to keep our best players here in town and go at it again.
Right.
And instead, we're losing them to the championship, the English Football League, which, in my opinion, and Dean's opinion as well, is not very different. It's not very different.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it is a second division over there, and this is the main division.
It is, yes.
You know,
this is a major league.
Yeah. So, we got to keep that in mind always. I think we haven't mentioned, here's a name that we haven't mentioned yet, but probably should have by now, but I think it was okay, it became okay to sell Ajimong because of what we saw from Idan Toklamadi. I am just absolutely, I think Toklamadi is probably my favorite player on the team now. I mean, he's just that cool and that stylish and that silky and just like does so many things in the attack, whether it's finishing, creating, supporting. And I think like you can let a guy like Patrick Ajimong go when you have a Toklamadi waiting in the wings, But I'm not sure, the jury's still out on whether Archie Goodwin can be that type of person waiting in the wings when the bigger clubs come looking to buy Edonto Clamati around mid-season next year, because you know they're going to if the trajectory continues. And I don't know, I love Andrew Privet, and I hope Privet gets the first chance to lock down the starting center back job next to Ream, but I'm not sure he can do what Milanda did, and I think that probably it's going to be necessary to go get someone to of superior quality to really replace Adilson Milanda. You know, I mean, we don't, there's names out there. I'm actually kind of intrigued by Justin Hawk, the young center back that played for, again, that just beat us for New York City, who's now a free agent and is available. There's guys like that are in MLS. Is Zorn going to go scout someone? I mean, we look at Zorn, we just talked about, he just re-signed a new deal. I mean, the thing about that I like about Zorn is he takes swings. And sometimes he whiffs it, and sometimes he hits a home run. He went and got Adilson Milanda from the second division in France, became probably the best player in club history. Went and got Edonto Clamati from Israel, and he dominated. He also went and paid a bunch of money for Nikola Petkovic, who has completely stalled in development. So, you know, Zorn saw the vision to draft Patrick Ajimong in the MLS Super Draft and turn him into a, you know, $10 million sale and all that. So...
Well, I'm concerned. I mean, when you say, oh, Toklamati's my favorite player, and you say, oh, you know, there's going to be big clubs coming to potentially sign him if his trajectory remains the same, I think that's what I'm trying to address. Like,
right.
Is he going to be sold next year?
Ugh.
Like, that I hope not. I'm asking, like, yeah. You know, because, like, at this point, 4 years into the project, is it five or four?
Next year will be the fifth year.
Next year, we just finished
our fourth season.
4 years into the project, like, you kind of like start to develop a culture of like what you are as a club.
Right.
Are you a buyer's club or are you a seller's club? Do you buy or sell? And
Do you develop or do you just bring in names? You know,
no, they like to buy, but they buy at a very low price.
Right.
In order to flip and turn and sell, that's what Charlotte FC likes to do. Right. So Toklamati fits right into that category.
Which kind of, you know, it's interestingly, as I think about what you just said, that's kind of the opposite of how David Tepper operates in the business world. David Tepper's famous for buying distressed, underpriced assets and restoring them to a previous value. He's not necessarily known for a guy that goes and, like, finds the hot new thing coming up. He's a guy that takes advantage of good deals. And we thought maybe we were doing that with Lee Alabada, with all the circumstances surrounding how he was able to come to the club.
Probably the biggest disappointment of the season was
easily,
Lee Alabada.
Easily. I mean, he lost his start. He's a guy that's making the second most money in salary-wise and the second highest transfer fee we've ever paid. And he gets in for 10 minutes a game. I felt better subbing Archie Goodwin in than I felt subbing Lee Alabada in, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and if nothing else, he motivated Kerwin Vargas to sort of rediscover his shooting boots a little bit, at least in the second half of the season. But, you know, I have people that I talk to say they want someone better than Vargas or Abada, you know? So, but Abada should have been that guy. He's a DP. Absolutely the biggest, without question, the biggest disappointment of the season. I feel bad shitting on a 24-year-old kid who's in a foreign country and all that, but, like, he's got to do better.
Well, I mean, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, shitting on somebody and taking unnecessary shots.
Yeah, I'm not going to take a
hot
shot.
Or just calling out the fact that it was pretty obvious that his form fell off.
Correct.
And that he wasn't trusted by the manager.
Or the teammates.
And the teammates.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot of work to do to repair his reputation, both inside the changing room and outside the changing room. He's going to be a tough asset to sell.
Right.
And who knows? You talked about distressed assets. I'd call him that right now. Maybe Charlotte FC could turn it around and give Lee Alabada a chance next year. Ultimately, it all ends up with Dino, right, at the end of the year. I think Dino is the guy that sets the tone. And when you think about his second season in charge, I would say that it was an average job.
Okay.
I actually don't think he did a good job.
Okay.
I think he did average.
Elaborate, yeah. Interesting.
Because we failed in all cup competitions.
Right.
And it wasn't like, it was just total failure.
Right.
In all cup competitions.
Crash out of U.S. Open Cup.
Crash
no,
out
no
of the
show
league.
In the League's Cup.
Crash out of the MLS Cup.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
All cup competitions did not go well. And I would expect a manager coming out of England to understand the value of cup competitions.
Right. And granted, they are a little bit of a crapshoot, but they matter.
It just, cup competitions to me show the health of the squad, the full squad. Okay. Who do you got?
Right. I like that, yeah.
And when a team plays well in the cups and plays well in the league, that's when you know an organization is totally buttoned up, that it has the depth it needs, and it can go on to have success in many different lanes. It felt, you know, very simple. What it felt like was Dean, and maybe he made this decision, he just pushed all his chips in on the league.
Right. Which is fair to say that's your top priority and say, I'm going for the supporter shield, but that doesn't mean you just disregard the cups. And, you know, and we all know that if you remember the League's Cup debacle happened because he wasn't there for the week. He had, you know, family issues, which is totally fine, but he came back and tried to manage a game that he hadn't prepared for. And that was, I think he admitted later a week after that, that it was a bit of arrogance. Right. He probably should have turned over to his assistants.
He was on bereavement, and you can't. Yeah. You can never in a million years hold that against anybody.
But just the upon the return, like maybe let the guys who had sort of prepared for it handle it.
Right.
For sure.
But he is the boss.
Yeah.
And he has every ability to say, no, I'm here and I'm going to be on the touchline. And I think because he's the boss and because he's at the wheel, he can make a decision like that.
Yeah. He takes responsibility for it.
And he does. I just think that I would like to see Charlotte play more consistent across all competitions. And
or alternatively, the problem is that we didn't do very well in the cups while still burning some of our best players' legs. You know, like if you want to say, okay, we're just going to run the kids out there and put an MLS Next Pro lineup onto the pitch during a cup and then you lose, then it's a little more understandable. But to play most of your best players but still lose and be disorganized and not really up for it, that's what's really disappointing.
And I think we have to kind of come to the agreement or understanding that when you have a new club and you have no silverware, like, you got to start somewhere.
Yes, correct.
And I would argue that winning the Supporters' Shield is maybe the most difficult of it all, mm-hmm. and winning MLS Cup is second on that list.
Mm-hmm.
So to go after the second most toughest trophy of the season and not get out of the first round, and when you got home field advantage,
right?
It's tough. It's tough on the manager. I think he has. And seriously though, like, I think if Dean Smith were to look in the mirror and say, like, what did I accomplish this year? I think he would tell you that he didn't accomplish necessarily what he wanted to.
Yeah.
I think he'd be proud of the top four finish. I also just think that, like, on a personal level, I think that as much as I like Dean, I just think that his excuse making became a real cultural issue for the club, to where I saw national media members just like kind of starting to point out, like, why is Dean Smith always complaining?
Yeah.
And that's why I asked Bradley Wright Phillips that question about, like, is Dean going to stay here at MLS? Because he seems like he's not having a good time.
Right.
So I would like to see a little bit more happiness.
Yeah, and I was like, it's a running joke for me that, like, Dean always says, whenever after a loss, Dean always says, I thought we were the better team. I thought we were the better team, but there was this, the referee did this, and they missed that, and this happened, and, you know, the game's cruel, but I thought we were the better team. And it's like a meme at this point. Like, and I get, like, some of that is, like, you got to, like, speak to your players through the, when you're talking to a microphone, you know, you're speaking to an audience of your players who are going to listen back later. And I get, you know, spin and PR and all that. You know, we work in media, John. We know that, like, sometimes you just have to say something even if you don't believe it's true to sort of put out a public face, front. But it does start to wear on you a little bit, and you would like to see a little bit more accountability, I guess, in public. I agree with you that he's probably feeling it in private because I think he is a smart human being. But, like, it wears a little thin, like, oh, you know, Dean Smith versus the referees, Dean Smith versus who was the better team and all this stuff. It can start to make people tune out, which was what we don't want.
I think everybody appreciates a manager that just takes responsibility.
Right.
My running joke is, like, I want to hear an apology.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with just being like, we didn't play well enough, and sorry to the fans who showed up to see it.
By the way, we're still waiting for that Wilfred Zaha apology, if he ever wants to give it, for getting his dumbass suspended for the first game against New York, which a lot of people tried to carry water for him on that and throw him some bail and be like, you know, he's just, that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he's human. He has to react. It's like, no, there is fucking 4 minutes left in the game and you pick up a red card that gets you suspended for a do or die. What the hell are you thinking, man? apologize.
And theoretically, you can make the argument that Charlotte would have won the first game at home with Zaha.
100%.
And then 100%. Won the second one in New York.
And, you know, I know Wilf doesn't like to hear that. He's on the record as complaining about podcasters
about
who have brought that up. But it's the truth. So,
well, yeah. He's a personality for sure. We said at the beginning of the season that it was time to strap in for the Wilfried Zaha experience, mm-hmm. good, bad, or indifferent, and the Wilfried Zaha experience really turned bad at the end of the season because he lost his cool in a moment of the match. And when I went around town, you know, and talked about that situation, a lot of people blamed Dean in that scenario.
Yeah,
that Dean didn't take him off the pitch soon enough to protect his player from doing something stupid. So, when you think about that, it's like in the most important time of the year, you have your manager and your best player both stepping in shit mm-hmm. to potentially ruin the end of the year.
Yeah.
Like, that needs to be called
they
out
dropped the ball.
As factually,
yep.
as facts.
Right.
That's just what happened.
We went out with a whimper, John. The thing is, everyone can say, oh, we improved, but we should have improved so much more because the end of the season was such a kick in the freaking butt. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
And I could use a stronger word there, but I'm trying not to.
A kick in the ass. And the other thing too is not only did we go out with a whimper, but it just felt like even we went out of the supporters' shield race with the whimper. Not that Charlotte was going to win the supporters' shield, but I just want to remind everybody. But this club was like a couple points off of top of the table.
Yes.
With like five matches to go.
Yes.
And I don't think it was ever going to happen for him.
And also was in first place in the table through 10 matches, which that's only 25% of the season. But like we'd set a foundation, went through this horrible, horrible losing streak, had to set an MLS record in order to right the ship, which everyone's like, oh, we set the record. It's like, it's great we set the record. We had to. If we hadn't done that, we would have been in big trouble, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
Big trouble.
Yeah.
No. We wanted to dedicate it. I wanted to dedicate the first half of this podcast for sure to just wrapping things up, putting a bow on things, mm-hmm. having conversations that need to be had. I'm curious with the TIFOs thing, our tremendous friends of the show. Thanks so much for following along with us for the fourth year in a row. Mm-hmm. I think the Charlotte FC experience has gotten better. There's no doubt about that.
It's been a fucking roller coaster 4 years, man.
It has.
We're riding them waves.
I will give the supporters credit for showing up on a Tuesday night in the rain and
more credit than Dean gave us for sure.
I mean, that's a cultural thing, and everybody who culturally understands Charlotte knows that if it's rainy and 50 something degrees on a Tuesday night. Not many people are going to be going out.
I was kind of feeling sick that week, too, and I dragged myself to the damn stadium.
And that was a different... And I think culturally, that's the difference. When we got into that stadium, we said, oh, shit, there's a lot of people here.
Yeah, yeah,
and Dean
yeah.
got in that stadium. He's like, nobody's here.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
like, well, like...
So true, yeah.
It's just kind of... This is how the city works.
Right.
And if you bring it back here, like, there'll be a lot more people here because it's going to be a Friday night.
Yep. And we did. And that Friday night was packed. It was 37,000,
38,000. It was. So what's coming up next? All those things we talked about. The schedule's out. The transfer window is, you know, about a month from really starting to heat up. The January window will open. Charlotte will have to get new players in. And the season will begin out in Coachella.
Yeah. January 15th, I think, is when training camp opens.
On January 15th. So we have less than 2 months. To the open of training camp. So we're going to take a look at the 2026 schedule. We're going to call out what we see on that I think really jumps off the page.
I think we should get another beer first.
I think a Guinness is a great idea.
it's
always a good day
for a Guinness.
Cheers to you, Danny. It's Charlotte Soccer Show. Thanks for listening. Back after this. We're back after a fresh pour and a nice creamy Guinness pint here in front of us. Two of them, I should say. And we're here to talk about comings and goings.
Well, Johnny, we're back, but not everyone is coming back. Because today, this morning, a few hours before this recording session, Charlotte released their roster decisions for 2026 in terms of the options being picked up, options declined. And I've got to say that in general, no major surprises, except there's some small surprises, I would say.
Well, let's talk about who's going.
Who's out of here? You're out of here.
I want to know who's gone.
First off, let's say this. First off, The it's kind of fitting that we're going to talk schedules in a little bit. As a teaser, Charlotte is going to play at Portland Timbers next year in October 2026. And we'll be doing so without the Portland Timbers contingent of Charlotte FC, because David Bingham, Bill Tuoloma, and Eric Williamson, all former Portland stalwarts that have come to Charlotte, they're all gone. None of them will be here next year, so they gone. Big Bill, we love you. Probably just probably a salary being too high casualty for him. Eric Williamson, same thing, and just no production to match what he was being counted on for. And David Bingham obviously being replaced by Drake Callender as a backup goalkeeper competing for the spot.
I saw Ashley Westwood and his family out with David Bingham and his family having a goodbye party.
Really?
Yes, I did. Nice. They became fast friends for sure. And there was a sending off for David Bingham. And I think it just goes to show, I think Bingham was a really nice signing for the dressing room.
Yep.
And when Drake Callender came in, it was, hey, you know, we like Bingham, but we need somebody that has maybe a little bit higher ceiling.
Yep.
And we're going to lean into that for our future. So that makes sense to me.
Bingham did a good job of filling in when Kalina dipped out of form.
Yeah. Bingham started.
Lighting a fire under
Bingham,
Kalina.
Bingham started the game that we went to in Philadelphia.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, had a really solid game. Unfortunately, let one in right at the death.
A bit of a PK save specialist, you know. I mean,
yes.
not that Kalina's bad at it, but Bingham was very good at stopping PKs.
So let's just run through the full list. And I want to talk about Eric Williams in the start, but let's just
The full list is this. Jelani Forbes, Nick Scardine, Bill Tuoloma, Jakeel Marshall-Ruddy, David Bingham, and Eric Williamson will all be gone next year for various reasons.
First takeaway for this is, it's like, if you play fullback, you're gone.
Yeah, because
Forbes, Scardina, Tuoloma, Marshall-Ruddy all played defensive fullback for this club.
Yeah.
And Tuoloma, I know, is a center back.
He's hybrid, he played fullback for this club.
Complete turnover. You know, obviously Harry Toffolo is here.
I mean,
Nathan Byrne is here.
Yeah.
But depth-wise, behind those two pieces, this club has nobody now.
Right. And by the way, Toffolo injury-prone, and Nathan Byrne had a neck surgery last season. You know, and both of them are on the wrong side of 30 if you're talking athlete-wise. So I believe in Byrne and Toffolo as two guys who can perform when they're out on the pitch. I'm not as convinced of their ability to stay out on the pitch. So we shall see what we shall see. I think that Toffolo has obviously, since he's come in, he's someone who I think the coaching staff trusts more than the fan base trusts him at this point. The coaches seem to love him. He does do some good things out there. He did absolutely whiff a beautiful goal in Yankee Stadium
he
that
did.
Was set up by my boy Idan Toklamadi with one of the back heels of the year. I will see that back heel in my dreams probably every night until next season begins. And Toffolo just absolutely whiffed the chance.
By the way, he almost whiffed his PK as well.
Yeah.
He slipped badly
on
that kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that shootout was wild, and thank God we won it. But yeah, that was – I thought we were going to lose that shootout every second until we won it, pretty much. But,
yes.
But yeah, like, can Toffolo really hold down the left-back position and stay 100% healthy all the year? I'm skeptical.
I'm willing to project that the Crown will draft – a defensive back out of in the super draft this year.
Yeah, and we got the guy Micah that started last season like in the mix. He was on in the match day squad on the bench a couple times and then kind of disappeared.
Well, here's the problem with MLS. Here's the problem with MLS. And we already talked about depth on this episode, but there's a lot of guys that play in MLS that are just, you know, very much on the fringes, especially players that come in from the super draft. So I just think, you know, Micah Thomas?
Maybe. Sure, why not, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's good. You could have said Thomas Micah, and I'd been like, definitely.
Yeah. He was in the match day squad. He was, you know, he was like an injury fill-in at the beginning of last season. But I agree with you. We're going to have to draft some guys, and we're probably going to have to sign somebody, I think. Because it's Marshall Ruddy that is probably the biggest loss on that list.
It's basically like all defense, and Eric Williamson is like almost a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, he's like a hybrid 8-6-8
It's like
eight
a
guy.
Total
yeah.
defensive
right.
restructuring that this team is going to do almost.
And Jakeel, I think, is a guy that they would have loved to keep around. But
on the Canadian national team.
He was here on a loan from Montreal.
Is he going to play in the World Cup?
That'd be funny. That'd be hilarious. Maybe. I just think that they would have, in my, if I'm reading between the lines, they just couldn't make the money work. But for a sign to bring him over full time from Montreal, I do think he's someone the club would have loved to keep, but couldn't. The other ones were all options declined, or out of contract, not re-signed.
And that makes a lot of sense, because Charlotte does feel like an option decline club, and that's okay. I think the beauty of having options, especially in MLS when the talent level is a little bit different than other leagues around the world, having the ability to opt out is a really nice win when it comes to contractual setup. So maybe Z-Man deserves some credit for getting these deal done and getting these options in here, and being able to transfer some of these guys out.
What do you think about no option pickup on Scardina? That puzzles me, because he's a guy that started a few matches this year. He contributed. Nathan Byrne's great. We love Nathan Byrne, but he was at fault for the first two goals against New York City in the final match of the year. I think even he would admit that. And you know, he's a great guy, but he's a guy who relies on his catch-up speed, and he's a guy that takes a risk and knows he has the speed to make up for it if the risk fails and get back into a defensive position. That's why we love him, and we love him for. He's another great locker room guy. He's Ashley Westwood's right hand man, you know, as they say.
Yep.
He's my right hand man, but you know, vice captain, if you will. But like, these guys can't play forever like this, and so you have a guy like Scardina who has some starting experience, literally a lifetime with the club. Nick Scardina scored the stoppage time equalizer in the first ever Crown Legacy FC MLS Next Pro match. I mean, Scardina is like. He is freaking Charlotte FC through and through, and you're just going to decline the option when you need depth at the position? It's weird to me.
Well, when you look at the list of players that it's leaving, and then you pivot to the list of players who are staying, it looks to make sense to me.
Okay.
Because the players that are staying, I would argue, there's nobody on the list of players leaving that's better than anybody on the players staying list.
Right, I would take Diani over Williamson. The player staying list is options picked up on Callender, Diani, and Tiger Smalls, and then Pep Biel converted from a loan player to a permanent player, and Wilfred Zaha's loan extended to June, which everyone knew was going to happen, but just for official transactional purposes, we put him on the list. So
this is good decision-making.
Yeah.
Like, I look at it and I'm like...
I would keep Diani over Williamson 10 times out of 10 right now.
Yes. Yeah. And Diani's somebody that catches a lot of flack. He has a bad game every now and again, but...
You love Diani.
I do. I mean, yeah. I thought he was tremendous in the game against NYCFC. There was only one player that was, like, willingly on the ball, taking big strides, pushing the ball forward, and it was Diani, in my opinion.
Right.
I thought Diani was phenomenal in that match.
I thought Dean Smith learned how to use Diani more and more effectively as the season went on this past year.
For sure. So I'm excited about these returning players. And, you know, specifically I want to circle somebody on this list, and it's Tiger Smalls.
We love Tiger. We love Penny.
Tiger is somebody
magic.
Is somebody that clearly is still going to get a chance here.
Yeah.
Is somebody that is going to provide that depth. What happened to Tiger at the end of the year? Was he out with an injury or?
I just think he was replaced in the rotation by Archie. I think Archie jumped him in the rotation as far as guys who sub in.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's so when you're thinking about who's coming back up front specifically, who's going to be in the attack, when you think about Wilfred Zaha, Pep Biel, when you think about Tiger Smalls, when you think about Edan Toklamadi, you think about Kerwin Vargas.
Lee Elabada. Do you think about Lee Elabada?
Not really. No,
yeah,
I don't.
Sadly, no.
Yeah,
not yet.
I don't.
Yeah,
no, he's
sorry,
basically...
Sorry, Chief Kiefer, but Abada's not the guy right now.
Lee Elabada's in his own category.
Okay.
And it's DP, who no one else is going to take on.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out a way to get the best out of him here in this offseason and to start the year. Because if you can get something out of him, it'll be a win. Because right now you're literally getting nothing out of him.
Right, exactly, yeah. It's the sunk cost at this point. You know, we spend a lot of money for this guy. He hasn't delivered. We've gotten the production from other spots. So now it's just like, well, if we got something from Leo Abad, it's a bonus. And that's a shitty thing to have to write off that much money, but that is exactly where we're at with him.
Well, there's one other category here that you mentioned, by the way. The negotiating category. Tell me about this. How do you know that the negotiations
are
in progress?
I don't know nothing about the negotiations in progress with Brandon Cambridge, but I do know that this is how the club explains it. Brandon Cambridge and the club are in ongoing discussions about his future. Charlotte FC retains an option on the forward for the 2026 season. So they could activate the option. He could have had his option picked up and been on that staying list at the top of the list. But for now, it's either they're trying to get him to take less money.
Okay, there you go. That's what I was going to say.
Or maybe.
I think
when the club has the option, just cynically, it doesn't really matter what the player wants. If the club wanted, they would just pick up the option, whether the player wanted them to or not. So, yeah, I think the club is willing to pick up the option at less money. Maybe they're negotiating that, and maybe Brandon thinks he can go do something better somewhere else. And he is a good player, and he's like, he's a guy that always, again, has been so injury prone over the last 2.5 seasons. Every time he's like just about to come back, we interviewed him on the show last year when he was just about to come back, and then he picked up another injury before he could even come back after that interview. And he was a really cool guy. I like Brandon a lot. A lot of people are friends with him. I think
he's good.
He's in the DNA of the club.
He's good.
He can finish. He's instant energy when he comes on. He's not always instant impact. He single-handedly won the game against Chicago in 2023, right? So, I mean, like, there's all this good stuff, but...
Here's some perspective I would give on Brandon Cambridge. As much as I like Kerwin Vargas, and then we'll protect him at all costs, and I want him to be on the squad, 10 times out of 10, I would tell you that Brandon Cambridge is a better finisher than Kerwin Vargas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vargas has 5 tools. He can do it all. He can run. He can pass. He can defend. He's got the energy to go the full 90. Vargas can do it all. But what makes Brandon Cambridge special is that he has finishing ability.
Right. Right.
I truly believe it's that simple.
Kerwin's finishing ability improved.
He's got better.
Yeah.
He got better.
Because Dean continually harped on him to get better. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here's maybe a better way to say it. Kerwin's learned how to finish. Brandon is a natural finisher.
He just knows how to finish. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And, I mean, I look at a guy like Brandon Cambridge, and I know you're a big fan of Johnny, and I'm not trying to do the Archie Goodwin as Erling Haaland thing here, but when I look at Brandon Cambridge and I look at you as your, and I think, I bet you're wanting Brandon Cambridge to be Brennan Johnson for Tottenham Hotspur, you know, wanting to be that type of player that's just like sprinting past everyone and finishing. And he's not quite that guy, and so I think the club just probably wants him to stick around maybe at a little less money.
It's funny. The host of The View from the Lane is this guy named Danny Kelly. He's been following Spurs for 50 years. And his bit about Brennan Johnson is always funny. And it's like, I have no clue what Brennan Johnson does.
Right.
He'll start. He'll play 90 minutes. I don't see him do anything except score that one goal.
Yeah.
And some players just have that ability within them to just always manage the game in a way where it's like, the entire match is building up to this one moment where I am going to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And some players have the ability to do that. It's kind of like a sniper shot.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
You're just
exactly.
hanging out
you gotta
the whole
get in
time.
Place. You got to climb the tower. You got to assemble the rifle. You got to set up the
yes.
stand.
And, yeah, and yeah, it's yeah. like, it's not that exciting.
You got to lower your heart rate, you know, all that stuff.
But when it's time to take the shot, you're going to hit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I think about Brandon Cambridge and Brandon Johnson. He's somebody that's like that for sure. But I like this list. I really do like this list, and I think it bodes well for the club moving forward.
Bringing back Pep as a permanent player. Like, Pep Biel is going to be a permanent player. There's reports that he will take up a DP spot. I wish that's not official yet, but that's what we can assume. It would have been great to not have him take up a DP spot, but it probably will end up that way.
In order to keep him, I think you have to do the deal that way.
And when he was at his best for extended periods of time, he played like a DP last year, so I get it. The injuries worry me a little bit, but then again, Pep's never really been a speedster. He's a creative player. He's a magician. So I think
that's why I like him for MLS.
Yeah,
that works.
Right.
I don't think
the injuries that he's had, if he can fully recover from them, I don't think that those are going to limit him. So we'll see.
If I could pick the player that I want Pep Biel to become, he already plays in MLS. It's Carlos Hill.
Yeah, 100%. Spanish guys that got to a level in Europe but never quite crushed it, and now they come to MLS and
that's
dominate.
That's kind of what 100%. If Pep Biel could be what Carlos Hill is for New England, I think that sets Charlotte up for a really nice 2026. By the way, this is just the roster moves for 2026. I mentioned the transfer window.
Right.
It's barreling towards us. In January, the transfer window will be absolutely, I think, electric. And the reason why is because the January window is all about one thing and one thing only. Who needs playing time to prepare for World Cup 2026?
Right. Yeah. It's on everybody's mind in the football world.
It's just that it's the elephant in the room. Everybody knows it's a World Cup year. June is World Cup 2026, and January is the only time you can move before you get to that window. So if you want regular playing time, because you are on your international side and you might not have the best club situation for you to get regular playing time. And by the way, guess where the World Cup is? It's right here in North America and Central America. Therefore, I could potentially see some players who are at their clubs that might want full minutes, who might want to come and acclimate and assimilate into the American time zone over here in the Western Hemisphere. I could see some players saying, you know what, like a Heung-min Son, for example.
Yeah.
Perfect decision that he's made.
Yeah.
And not only has it paid off for LAFC, it's paid off for the player personally as well.
Yeah.
He's here. He's waiting for his South Korean national team to show up, and they're going to play the World Cup in 2026.
He's going to be able to show them all the best restaurants around LA, you know?
What other players are out there that potentially could come?
Yeah.
To
and are any of them center backs?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, they could. The problem is we've already got one guy that's doing that.
Yeah.
And it's Tim Ream. Tim is doing that.
Yeah. Tim Ream said when he signed here, it was all eyes on the 2026 World Cup. And so far it's all playing out that way.
Well, of course it is, and it's good decision making because think about Tim Ream has the ability. If you look at Charlotte FC's 2026 schedule, which we're about to dive into, if you look at the schedule, it's like Tim's entire World Cup buildup is playing for Charlotte FC in meaningful matches here, getting perfectly fit to where when the World Cup break happens, he is going to be physically, mentally, emotionally exactly where he needs to be to perform for the United States.
Yep.
And every single international player is thinking that same way.
Yep. And we got to go find the ones because you're right. As much as I love Andrew Privet, as much as I love Ream, as much as I love Byrne, as much as I want to love Toffolo, like what we have is like three old guys that might get injured and a young guy who, you know, has had good stretches and bad stretches. So it's like we really don't have like that truly dependable consistency. I hate to be the guy that's like worried about injuries that may or may not happen all the time. I probably do that a little too much. It's like, oh, he might get hurt, he might get hurt, he might get hurt. And I don't want to be that type of guy. But the fact is, these guys might get hurt, you know? So it's like, we got to have some reliability and depth because, like you just outlined in the last few minutes, we just kicked a bunch of young defenders to the curb and said we're going to go a different direction. And it's like, well, I mean, Bill Tuoloma, like, I have to assume that Bill Tuoloma was just, he makes too much money to stick around. But, like, that's a guy that filled in admirably for the club and could play multiple positions on the back line. So we got to go get some dudes. I think offensively we're pretty set. I think if we look at our, if Pep becomes a DP, that's Zaha, BL, and Abada as our DPs.
Yep.
And then we have under 22 Tokomadi, I believe, right? So like that's our core. Those spots are all filled. We're not going to go get it. I don't expect Charlotte FC to go sign another DP unless they just completely cut bait on Abada and kick him to the curb. So we're not talking about DP signings in this January window, and yet we might be talking about some of the most important signings in club history if we go get some guys that really lock down that defensive line and create the depth that's going to be there for us in a pinch when we need it. And again, I hope Andrew Privet goes and wins the job. Shout out to the Privet family. We know they're listening, and we love Andrew. But he's going to have to go win that job because if you're looking at the eyes of the fan base and they're scanning that pitch for what's missing, there's a giant Adilson Milanda-sized hole that needs to be filled by somebody, whether it's Privet or somebody else.
It's good analysis. I agree with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if what the culmination of that is signing some older guys that need minutes.
More old guys. Let's go.
That might be the 2026 blueprint. We'll figure it out.
Can we trade Abada back to Celtic and get Austin Trusty on the back line?
That would be ideal.
USA player.
That would be
Trusty and Ream, partnership for the crown and the red, white, and blue. Let's go.
You can easily go see Charlotte's 2026 schedule if you go to any of the social apps, if you go to charlottefootballclub.com. If you go to the MLS.com, or no, MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah, Major League Soccer, soccer.com.
They just could not pay the real estate business enough to get MLS.com.
Well, that's a big business.
It is a very, very big business.
Tepper couldn't buy the domain?
We're not here to tell you what the 2026 schedule is, because you can go look it up. What we're here to tell you is what matters and what is interesting about the 2026 schedule. And I'll start just with simply the fact that at St. Louis and at LA Galaxy to start the season is two very interesting road matches to get things started.
Yeah. Trips out west and out to the Midwest to start the season at St. Louis. Famously, there was a lot of hype around we played the first ever match and lost the first ever match in City Park, I believe is the name of St. Louis SCSCFC.
There's definitely an expansion rivalry there.
Yeah, for sure. And that they were a club that took a big dive in 2025, and who knows what they're going to bring back. But that's a game we should be targeting to go out and start 1-0, I think, on the road. LA Galaxy, you never know. LA Galaxy played for MLS Cup in 2024 and completely fell off the map in 2025, but then somehow did well enough in Leagues Cup to qualify for CONCACAF Champions League. So that's wild. They're a team that you never know what they're going to have. But those are two crazy trips to start the season. And then we got five straight matches at home, which is kind of nice. In the colder months of the year, March and April, that's not bad.
5 of 6 weeks. There's a week off in there. But 5 of 6 weeks at the bank from March 7th to April 11th. What a really, really nice way to welcome into the season. I think that's such a great call out from you, Danny, because when the season ends, you miss it. You're like, man, coming back. It's a couple months. But realistically, what I would do is I would tell everybody who are big-time soccer fans, enjoy the Prem.
Yep.
Enjoy the Champions League. The season's going to be going. There's a lot of soccer. There's a lot of footy to watch over the next couple months. And then once we get into the month of March, it's nonstop soccer here in Charlotte for more than a month. I think that's really, really, really cool. And I think it's a list of really great opponents as well. You're talking about Austin. You're talking about Miami. You're talking about Red Bulls, Philadelphia, Nashville.
Yep.
Are you kidding me? That's a ridiculous run of five straight home games.
Messi on March 14th in the stadium is wild. You know, he's going to be priming his body and his game to get ready for the World Cup a few months later. I think that's very interesting.
Or he'll be saying, you know what, maybe I won't play on the turf because this is a big tournament for me. And
it's possible.
And it's not a good idea.
Certainly possible. We'll have to see. The Union coming here on April 4th is definitely going to be a showdown,
I think. Union have always come to Charlotte at the end of the season.
Right. This is the earliest we've ever played the Union here in Charlotte.
Yes.
And that's, you know, they're a club that's currently setting the standard that, you know, should know for people. A lot of Charlotte FC fans may not have noticed this, but there was a big investigation into Ernst Tanner, who has run the Philadelphia Union in recent years, about some of his alleged poor work practices, and you can go read more about that. But that aside, the Union set the standard as far as being a model MLS franchise from top to bottom and developing players through their academy system.
For sure.
And you know, bringing Tommy Wilson here from the Union was a couple years ago, is Charlotte's attempt to sort of match that. And so that's a club that we measure ourselves. All that is just to say that's a club that I think we should always be measuring ourselves against.
Yes.
We get Nashville. It's kind of nice. We get Nashville at home April 11th, and then we go to Nashville April 25th, and then we never have to fucking worry about Nashville ever again for the rest of the year. I like that because fuck Nashville, but yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think that's fun. And then, by the way, we come back. We'll go four games on the road, and then we're back at home for four in a row. So if you're going to
split up by the World Cup, though. Three in a row, then the World Cup.
No, it's four in a row, and then the World Cup, and then a home
match. Sorry, my bad. I can't count. You're right.
It's
correct.
Okay. Yep. But the reason why I called it out specifically is because if you're a fan and you're thinking about, man, Charlotte FC, I'm excited for them to get back. What's the plan? What am I doing next year? There's just two massive – I would say there's like three chunks
of your
soccer
month
schedule.
Month away, month home.
Yes, but not only that, it's like I'm talking about like soccer here in the city. It's like – the month of March, mid-March to mid-April is going to be phenomenal. The month of May is going to be phenomenal. And then we're going to get the World Cup.
Yeah.
Right? So you're going to take a break. You're going to get the World Cup. And then what MLS is doing is, and this is really important, is MLS is coming right back out of the gate 3 days after the World Cup final with Charlotte hosting Atlanta Wednesday night, 8 o'clock at the Keep. right? And you know what happens a few days after that? That next weekend, the MLS All-Star Game at the bank as well.
That's not bad, yeah. Yep, the 29th.
Yeah. So they're going to play Atlanta, they'll go on the road to Red Bulls, and they'll come back the next weekend. So the 22nd, so I believe the All-Star Game is a Wednesday night.
Okay.
So you'll have Wednesday night against against Atlanta, the Derby at home, and then a week later you're going to have the All-Star Game.
Beautiful.
Here in Charlotte as well, which I thought was interesting that it
Brilliant.
Wasn't on this schedule.
Yeah.
They should have put like the All-Star Game on the schedule because
yeah.
it's our home game.
Yeah. Right. In theory, we'll have Wilf Zaha will be playing in it, right? And Pep Biel, and Andrew Privet, you know. Yeah, let's go.
Well, then the World Cup will happen, and then we'll.
And Topamati, you know, shoot, can't forget my favorite player.
The Miami on decision day.
I think it's a good schedule overall. It's balanced, a little better than last year. I still do think Dean Smith. You know, again, in his end of season press conference earlier this week, mentioned.
Was he complaining about the schedule?
He was complaining about last year's schedule already. Oh. This one was not out yet when he spoke on Wednesday, but he said something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, you know, it's just really not good for the fans to have these big chunks because fans like a rhythm. Fans like to know I have a home game, then an away game, then a home game, then an away game, and maybe there's two bunched up. But Dean Smith doesn't like. These clusters of like lots of home and lots of away, lots of home. It is much better than last year where we were on the road for
Correct.
6+ weeks and we
Good
didn't
take
even
away.
Get to see.
Yes.
But it's still a little bit clustered, so I don't think Dean is going to love that so much, but all he can do is manage around it.
I think Dean needs to zip it. And I think that he needs to understand that the MLS gave him a tremendous opportunity to get off to a great start.
Right.
And go into the World Cup
Indeed.
Break as one of the best teams in MLS.
Indeed, yeah. And we've got 8 home matches from March, starting March 7th until the World Cup begins. We have 8 home matches and 4 road matches. You know, I'm taking the 2 February road matches out of that.
Yeah, it's going to be a phenomenal spring
yeah.
and summer of soccer
yep.
in this city. I cannot wait.
And then
wait
it gets much
it.
More balanced in the second half, the way he wants it. So,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And we'll be back and forth. There's a lot of big matches. You mentioned the at Timbers game, first
October
time in club 24th. History.
I always have these ambitions to like, oh, I'm going to go to this faraway place on a Charlotte FC road trip, and then I don't go. Like, I really wanted to go last year. I wanted to go to one of the faraway road games and didn't quite come together. But
well,
I did go to Austin.
Just do yourself a favor and just sign up for Crowns Up and Away for
up,
the Portland
up and
match.
Away. Yeah, I
and
might
then,
as well, yeah.
And then there'll be a deadline, yeah. and you'll be able to decide. Because you're going to sign up.
I think that's what I'll do. I mean, Portland Timbers, old school, one of the oldest soccer, continuously running soccer clubs in America, even in their pre-MLS days. Providence Park is like a iconic ground when
yep.
it comes to American soccer. Big fan of what the Timbers Army does and sort of the, you know, the moral stands that they make in a lot of things. And my sister and my mom used to both live in Portland for years and years and years. I really love Portland. It's a really cool city. Bridgetown is one of its names, and yeah, I could see October.
I just think that's
Portland.
Like an easy way. And I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to anybody who's listening to this show. That if there's an away game on the schedule that you want to go to and you're considering it, just put in an application for Crowns Up and Away, and they'll come back to you and confirm. Hey, are you going to go to this game?
Yeah.
And you can say yes or no.
Right.
So they'll give you some time to make a decision. So if you just feel the itch of maybe going somewhere, just sign up for it. I've done that in the past, and it's okay to back out because
right.
life happens.
It was Montreal was the game I was wanting to go to last year and didn't end up making, but yeah. How about this, John? How about if I told you that in year 5, Charlotte FC could still be breaking new ground and making firsts? It's going to be on October 10th, our first ever regular season MLS match against FC Dallas, and they're coming here to the Fortress.
Very cool.
Going to be amazing. We played them in Leagues Cup a couple seasons
that. Yes,
ago.
Yes, I remember
but
that match vividly.
FC Dallas, Charlotte FC, first ever regular season meeting 5 years after this club was played its first game.
Well, if that doesn't tell you right everything here. You need to know about yeah. MLS, I don't know what
it
does.
It probably does.
It's a very, yeah. very big
yeah.
league. The league is huge. There's a lot of teams,
yep.
and you're never going to play anybody. And I think let's finish it off there, right? Let's finish it off there. Yeah, if you have one more take on the schedule.
One more take is decision day at Miami.
Yes, huge.
Obvious.
Yeah.
Massive.
What a great opportunity on the maybe I just shit. Actually, Crowns Up and Away, just sign up for that one.
yeah,
guaranteed
yeah,
tickets.
Yeah, exactly. You're supposed to not resell them, but
yes,
you know, maybe
yes.
you can figure out a way.
But no, what we need to finish with is, okay, we've seen the 2026 schedule. Explain to me how, and this is what I want to know. And if you can't, we'll just work it out in real time.
The calendar flip.
How does the calendar flip actually work after the 2026 season?
Well, I definitely haven't memorized it, but I have looked into it. And what I can
think about it like that. I'll tee you up. So decision day is November 4th, I believe. Is that right?
7th.
November 7th.
Yep.
So the season will culminate, regular season on November 7th. We'll go play the
MLS Cup.
MLS Cup. The season will end somewhere there around
in December.
December.
Yeah, exactly.
So what happens after that?
So what happens after that is then we will not start the official 2027 season until July of 2027.
So you're telling me there's like a 6-month break?
Yeah. So from December to July, are we gonna have no soccer whatsoever? I'm not telling you that, Johnny. I'm here to tell you there's gonna be the chaos season. Maybe we can come up with a better branding. They're calling it a mini season. I'm gonna call it the chaos season.
Wait, they're gonna play games in that one?
I might call it bubble times two. If you remember the MLS bubble COVID quarantine. What we're gonna have is from February to May 2027, there's going to be a mini shortened 14 game sort of asterisk chaos season that features a full Supporters Shield and playoffs MLS Cup scenario. I don't know exactly what happens with the League's Cup in 2027, but what I can tell you is the chaos season, February to May of 2027, before taking a short break for to rest up and then start the official 2027 season in July of 2027. But the mini season is going to be fun. What I want to know is,
do you think it's going to be like divisions, right? Because I've heard.
No clue. Yeah, they've talked about divisional realignment as well.
Like, who are you going to play during that mini season?
We don't really know.
This is news to me. That's why I asked you. I figured you were more in the know than me.
The mini season is going to be fun. It's just kind of like a one-off. Fuck it, let's go play some games. It's going to be 14 games plus playoffs. So the regular MLS season is 34 games. So it's a shortened little power pack, jam pack thing. If I'm working for the MLS Players Association, the MLSPA, I'm thinking, I mean, am I getting two salaries? Am I getting two salaries in 2027?
Yeah, I've already started negotiating.
Yeah, what's the situation there?
What about those escalators in my contract when I perform and hit certain benchmarks?
Right, exactly.
Do they combine?
Do
I have to do it all in one?
Is this a ghost season? You know, are we playing all this thing on an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific? Like, who knows what could happen in the chaos season? But it should be fun.
It's a step in the right direction for me. I think MLS being aligned with the global soccer calendar, right. Forget about when the games are played. I will say this. I'm going to call people out, specifically the fans who have said, oh, great, now we're going to have to play all this soccer in cold weather. It's like the weather literally has nothing to do with this decision.
Right.
This is just... it has literally nothing to do with the weather. You can only tell on yourself when you start talking about the weather.
Yep.
Like, just you sports are played in weather.
Right.
It is what it is.
In all kinds of weather, Charlotte FC sticks together, if I can borrow a phrase from the Florida Gators.
Yes.
But, I'd rather go to a game when it's cold and wear a sweater than be sweating my freaking face off in the middle of July in the stadium. So actually, it's a win for the weather for us. Maybe people in Minnesota and Montreal feel a little differently, but I think from Charlotte's point of view, more games in the winter and fewer games in the dead of summer is a huge win.
Oh, look at Vancouver. Maybe they should have put a dome on the stadium, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Figure out a way to put a dome on it.
It also puts more... And everyone, the other big complaint that sort of... why this hasn't happened earlier, people would say, well, you don't want to be, you know, have your regular season competing, you know, against the NFL and college football. Well, currently your playoffs, the culmination of your MLS Cup is competing against college football and NFL. And if you remember last year, MLS Cup final was just like on a random freaking Sunday up against NFL games. Like, I don't think that the ratings were very good. And so this is going to put the peak, the climax, the culmination of the MLS Cup in May in future years going forward. And I think that's a much better scenario for MLS than having your playoffs and MLS Cup final being up against. I'd rather lose a few early season games that, you know, maybe a few diehards miss out because they're still watching Gridiron. And then they can, like, join into the soccer season once that stuff's... And then they're in the throes of the soccer season instead of, like, just catching the beginning of it and then abandoning the season to go follow Gridiron.
It's a good decision, and it's more important for the transfer windows. 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the
it aligns
point
us with European transfer windows. Allows. I do think salary cap reform needs to come next, hand in hand. But like this calendar change is going to be great for transfers.
Well, just think about it this way: the January transfer window is to bolster your squad to finish the season. It's like that, and has been like that across all different leagues in the world. For some reason, MLS, the January transfer window is to like start your season.
Right.
So it's just like the negotiating, the deal making becomes tremendously difficult.
Correct.
Because people are looking for different things.
They're at cross purposes. Yeah.
So exactly. The global transfer market in January is going to be like, hey, instead of signing, you know, Hyungmin Son to come in the summertime,
right,
to finish off your season when he's. When it's, you know, at the end of your career, it's a difficult, it's an easier decision. But a younger player would be like, well, if I take a move to MLS in the summer, like, I'm playing, like, what am I doing over the winter?
Right.
Like it's just, it's a really difficult thing to do. So just to align these windows makes too much sense to me. And it's the only thing I'll give, you know, Don Garber credit for, because until he changes MLS playoffs to just MLS Cup, he will get no credit for
that. Yeah. Garber, potentially, there's also a lot of whispers that he's on his way out.
Good.
I believe the reporting said MLS stakeholders are actively searching for his replacement. So he's getting ready to pass the torch. I think he's led this league for long enough, and, you know, more power to you, Don, but come on the show if you want to talk about it.
And we would talk about him, because if he is on his way out, I'll give him credit, because he's setting up himself for a very positive departure.
Right,
100%. These changes, leaving a lasting legacy.
He'll leave a pretty good legacy, you know. Yep. It's like Moses, you know. I can bring you to the promised land, I just can't enter the promised land with you, you know. So
it's been a pleasure doing the show with you this season, Danny. The fourth season on Charlotte Soccer Show.
We're done for
the
year. We're done for 2025.
Yes, yeah.
It's been a good run. We'll be back next year. Why wouldn't we?
This is the final episode of 2025. Just in case, though, I'll leave the door open in case something else happens here. Because I'm not saying people are going to come calling for Dino, but let's see what happens in the Premier League and some other leagues across the world in the next couple months.
Maybe Wolves will fire another manager, you know, and they'll become looking.
I'm not expecting that to happen, but I'm just realistic, and I understand that Dean Smith is Charlotte FC's manager. He has a reputation in Europe, and when teams need to come out of a relegation battle and they've exhausted all options, they might give him a call. I'm not saying that he's going to accept, but he might consider it if the money's right.
I think Dino's committed here. I think he loves it here. I think he's bought in. He's got recently signed a contract extension, but I will say this. If and when Dino does leave Charlotte FC, there's not going to be any warning. It's going to be like a middle, like, it's going to be like, everyone's going to be like, what the fuck? Like, oh shit. Like, it's going to be one of those, like, bombshell moments. Because there's not going to be, like, indications and hints and whispers and, oh, we knew this was coming. When Dino does leave, it's going to hit us all like a freaking freight train.
Maybe it'll be after Charlotte's first MLS Cup. And then he'll ride off into the promised land.
I mean, it'd be nice to win something.
but until then, I hope everybody enjoys the return of club soccer this weekend. I hope you enjoy the festive fixtures.
Ooh.
I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday, your Christmas holiday, Hanukkah, whatever y'all celebrate out there.
We have a lot to be thankful for.
So much to celebrate, so much to be thankful for over these next couple months. And until next time, as always, thanks to the TIFOs, our tremendous friends of the show, for hanging out with us. I hope you stick around, and we'll be back with you soon. And until next time, Danny.
It's for the crown, baby.
Cheers.